Broadcasting from stages 2 and 4 in Burbank, California, let's go inside Salem on NBC's Days of Our Lives podcast.
On today's show, Judith Chapman talks about her new role at Days, reuniting with her co-star Greg Rickard and her illustrious career in Hollywood. Then, in two can't-miss clips, Gabby and Stefan promise to destroy one another, and Leo is threatened when his mother introduces herself to Sonny. Later, John Aniston stops by Suzanne Rogers' dressing room where they reflect on their long-running relationship on and off the screen. That and more, starting now. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Michael Fairman. If you caught this week's episodes of Days of Our Lives, you've been witness to the highly anticipated return of Judith Chapman to the NBC daytime drama series. However, this time she is not playing the role of Angelica Devereaux, a.k.a. Satan, but that of Diana, the mother from hell, set to make scheming Leo's life quite miserable. Just what secrets does Diana hold for the town of Salem, and more specifically for her son, Marlena, and John Black? Let's get the scoop. Please welcome daytime dynamo, Judith Chapman.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Judith.
What fun. Thanks for having me.
Of course. This has been so fun for Days fans to see you return to the show. Now, you have a past with the show where you played Angelica Devereaux from 1989 to 1990.
Oh, gosh.
Then you were back in 1991, and then in 2018 for the Halloween episode where you played Angelica Satan because Angelica had passed.
Yes.
Did you know the time you were coming back to Days? At that point when you came back for the Satan turn?
No. That was just a one-off and come play. And I was like, fabulous. And when I got here and just saw everybody and the people that are still here, we all live in a time warp on soap operas, you know. Nothing, time does not march on. And to see everybody and see the producers and it made me feel a little homesick for Salem. So I dropped a hint or two and somebody heard me.
So did head writer Ron Carlobati talk to you about
No, just Marnie, and she said, we think we have something we're going to offer you. I had no idea what it was. I thought, you know, people come back from the dead all the time on soap operas and recur, and so I thought it might be Angelica visiting again, and it turned out to be a completely different character, so I feel doubly, triply honored.
And just to clarify, Marnie is Marnie Saeda, our casting director here at Days of Our Lives. So she had picked up the phone and called you. So I want to know, and I'm sure so many soap fans want to know, what happened when you told Greg Rickard that you were going to be playing his on-screen mother after the two of you had played for years Gloria Fisher-Bardwell and Kevin Fisher on Y&R as mother and son?
Exactly. Well, it was such a surprise when Marnie said you would be playing Leo's mom. And so when they offered me the part and everything was settled, I said, can I call Greg and talk to him? And I did. I called him. He was in his car. And I said, Greg, it's Judith. And we both immediately started squealing like two high school girls with excitement, anticipation. And yes, we're together again. So it's Diana and Leo are Kevin and Gloria on steroids. That's a direct quote from Greg.
It's
just far more sinister, far darker, which is a lot more fun.
It seems that
Mommy Dearest. I like to think of Diana as
God.
Mommy Dearest.
Is there going to be a hanger?
You'll just have to watch.
So how would you define Diana and Leo's relationship then?
Sick.
Twisted.
And who knows where it will end, but yes, it's very sick and twisted.
So it seems that Leo murdered his father, but he could be the bio son of John Black. That's kind of what's going on.
Yes, we aren't really sure. Diana is the keeper of all of these secrets. She knows for sure, but she's not revealing anything to anybody. That way she can play the puppet master and control everybody and tease everybody and manipulate everybody to get what she wants.
Now, what is her motive to come back to town? Does she want John Black, who she has a past with?
Sure. Does she want to get rid of his current wife? Sure.
Oh, Marlena?
Sure. So yes. All of those things. D, all of the above. She wants it all. And she might even want her newspaper back.
She did. She had The Spectator.
That's right.
She did.
So
she,
lots of motivation for coming back to Salem after all these years with lots of ideas to be on top again.
So what was it like when you took the stage here with Drake Hogeston and Deidre Hall?
Great fun because I've known them for 30 years, but Drake is such a wealth of, is such an encyclopedia for the history of Days of Our Lives, things I didn't remember. He remembered things about Angelica. I said, really, I did that? So he was very helpful in letting me build and create the backstory so I could go forward. Deidre is the consummate professional, and so we just come in, know our lines, rehearse, get the job done. So always a pleasure to work with Deidre.
We learn on Monday's episode that Diana is really Diana Colville, originally played by Jeannie Francis.
Yes.
So did that give you pause? Did you know that she had played the role?
I did not know. In fact, Drake was the one who told me.
Were you like, what?
He filled that's right. Really? I thought this was a brand new character. Wait a minute. Nobody told me that. No, it was just, so it was okay. But Jeannie Francis, talk about soap opera, you know, royalty. And I thought, okay, that's fine. Because Diana is now a very different woman than sweet Jeannie Francis. She's matured.
And
she's
now,
damaged.
Right, but Diana was on from 1987. Did you ever get a chance to look up her history, the Greeks, like the stuff that Diana
has
done?
I had Drake. Drake told
me. Oh, Drake
me.
Did it.
Drake told me
So Drake
me
was the history book,
Drake,
right. Got it.
And I did Google it, and friends who are diehard Days fans and followers sent me clips. So I got the backstory. Yeah.
Do you want to see—
But it was more fun hearing it from Drake.
Oh, he's great at all that. Yeah.
Amazing.
Do you want to see her wanting to help Sonny and Will get Leo out of their hair with his blackmailing schemes, or will she stand by her son? What do you think?
It depends on how she can best be served. Whether she's going to side with the boys, the lovely young couple, that's not her son, Leo, or she's going to sticking to blood. So again, not to reveal too much, but I think Diana wears many masks, and it just depends on whom she's talking to.
You have had such a storied career in soap operas. You played one of my all-time favorite characters, Natalie Bannon, on As the World Turns, who was just the best villain. She caused such trouble for Lisa and Grant, right? Mm-hmm. And then Ginny Blake.
Of course.
Charlotte Greer.
My favorite.
I was going to ask, so what's your favorite, and why do you think you work so well on this medium?
I think because of my strong theater background and I do have a penchant for damaged women. But I love Charlotte Greer because damaged women who have a soul, have an underbelly to their soul that makes them so fragile and so, so vulnerable. Vulnerable, and so they have to protect themselves, and I find that very interesting. But Charlotte Greer on Ryan's Hope was one of my favorites. It was only for 6 months. And then Angelica. I was very sorry to leave this show, Days of Our Lives, all those years ago. And when they released several of us at the same time.
You know, it all kind of happened at the same time.
Wally Kurth was released, I was released, and we had a child together. So
On the show.
They've all been wonderful. I mean, and that sounds simplistic, but truly, you fall in love with your characters. You fall in love with your fellow actors as you create this genre, this news, this ongoing story. So, I've said this before many times, but I've done so much episodic nighttime television and worked with some of the greats, you know, the Lee Majors, the Tom Sellecks, everybody, Michael Landon, you name it, I've probably worked with them. But it's a formulaic medium. This is ongoing, ever-evolving, ever-unfolding. So it is more like theater. It shoots like a proscenium theater, and you never know what's going to happen around the corner. I say, how do these writers come up with this stuff? So I just think it's the ever-evolving and ever-changing aspects of soap daytime that I just truly love and embrace.
And I think one of the most amazing things happened when it was announced by Days that you're officially coming back. I just saw the fan reaction on social media how much they were thrilled to see you back, because soap fans follow their favorites over time for to the ends of the earth, wherever they go. Okay. I think it's a testament to you, a big testament to you, by how thrilled they were to see you were coming back to the show and on their screen. So what did that make you feel like when you saw that?
You're just giving me goosebumps, Michael, and bringing a tear to my eye, my jaded old eye. No, you know, there's a wonderful line, and you can edit this out if you want to, but there's a wonderful line from a wonderful Del Shores play called Sordid Lives, and one of my favorite Michael brother boy, Michael, he's in the insane asylum for his issues, and but he talks about his fan because he wants to be Loretta Lynn. He said, I've got to go do a show. I got to go put on my Loretta makeup, and he said, my fans are waiting. They're crazy, but they're loyal. but that's no, soap fans aren't crazy, but they are definitely loyal.
They're very loyal.
And it just, it amazes me. It amazes me that people do follow, and still, there's so few of us left. There are only four soaps left, and it would be an American institution if this medium ever left. So many young actors became stars on soap operas.
Absolutely.
I did them in early days, and at this point in my life, it's perfect. It's perfect because I get to go do my other vanity projects, my theater,
which
and producing
we're going to talk about
directing.
In one
Yay.
Second. I do want to ask you, when Greg Rickard and you did his final scenes on YNR that broke everybody's heart, where Kevin left the show and had to say goodbye to his mother, talk to me about that scene, because people have been commenting on that, like, oh, they were so great together. I can't wait to see them back on Days, because that was so heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. It was heartbreaking. First of all, that Greg would be excused from Young and the Restless. And I was, Gloria was seeing my family slowly falling apart, being used less. And this wonderful, dynamic third family in Genoa City was disappearing. And when I remember that day so well, because Greg and I, obviously, we were both emotional, a little emotional. This was our final scenes together. And we were doing a dress rehearsal, and he started emoting, and I just went, stop. I went, just walked up to him, and I got in his face. I said, don't you dare waste it now. Save it for air when they go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And he did. He pulled back. And so that was the first time organically just letting this stuff go. One take.
It was amazing.
And
right?
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
Yes.
You now live in Palm Springs.
I do.
And
in
you
the
are,
area. The
you
area.
Are, yeah, in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And you're currently starring as Tallulah Bankhead in a play called Looped at the Desert Playhouse now through February 10th.
That's correct.
Now, if I understand this, the play is set in a recording studio
yes,
in 1965.
Yes, not like this one.
Yes. Bankhead's career is beginning to fade at that point.
It is dead.
It's dead. And she's been summoned to dub or loop in a line in Die, Die, My Darling, right?
Correct.
And which proved to be her final film.
Yes.
And the sound technicians are there hoping it will be a relatively problem-free recording
line,
session,
lady.
And it goes into this whole thing.
It took her he only needed one line. It took her 8 hours to do it. The play is not 8 hours long, don't worry.
Are you having a kick doing it?
I am having a kick. It's because I'm so specific. And when I did Vivian Leigh, my one-woman show that I toured the United States with for Vivian, I spent a year researching, studying, and developing that character, recreating Vivian. And so I've been working on Tallulah for about 4 months. But that voice, that, you know, that laugh of hers. So getting that down, having the perfect wig, she always had that fabulous head of hair, I do not, and that perfect part and this mountain of curls that she'd swing around. So I just hurt my neck doing that. But so it is just an honor. We opened this past weekend. The show, the production has gotten rave reviews. So we have 3 more weekends, and I'm betting it'll be sold out.
Okay, so if anybody's in the Southern California area or in Palm Springs and wants to see Judith as Tallulah in the loop, you can get tickets at www.desertroseplayhouse.org. The show is playing now through February 10th.
May I just add one thing?
One thing.
Please leave the children at home.
So it's not PG.
It is not PG.
Okay, it's a not PG show. All right, Judith, this was so much fun chatting with you. Now you're going to stick around and do some can't miss clips with me, right?
But of course, darling.
Here's your can't miss clip for the week of January 21st. After learning both Chad and Stefan have been named co-CEOs of Demira Enterprises, Gabby arrives to see what this means for Gabby Chic. Chad wants nothing to do with her or her business, while Stefan views this as an opportunity to destroy her. Gabby announces she is a different person now, who won't be pushed around by the DeMiro family. Chad doesn't have time for Gabby's threats and leaves. Stefan infuriates Gabby when he urges her to quit, and she lets him have it. Take a listen.
I'm trying to help you. You've had a terrible year. Don't you think it's time to just pack it in?
You really are a sad excuse for a human being.
Like you have any ground to stand on after what you did to me.
Oh, what I did to you? No. No, you have no idea what I'm capable of, you son of a bitch. I'm just getting started. I'm never leaving Gabby Chic. Actually, I'm gonna use it as an opportunity to make your life a living hell.
Okay. Well, since I'm only co-CEO, it means I'll have plenty of time to do the same to you.
Well, I don't know. I've just about had it with both Gabby and Stefan. They're so manipulative.
You just want to spank them both.
Spank them both. I don't know. I think that these two you can always see when there's something like this going on, they hate each other, and there's sexual attraction there, isn't that? I'm feeling that's probably what's happening.
Of course.
Yes.
The lady doth protest too much.
She wants to hit him over the head with a poker. You know, it's a lot. Yeah. Right. That means in the bed soon.
Within the month.
In the month.
Within the month.
So mark my words, Judas. 30 days from now,
why are we not writing the show? Here's your can't miss clip for the week of January 28th. At the request of Will, John Black brings Leo's mother, Diana Cooper, to Salem. Desperate to get his mother out of sight, Leo throws her out of the Kiriakis mansion, but not before running into Sonny. Leo lies, saying that she's just a personal shopper, prompting Diana to introduce herself as Matthew, aka Leo's mother. A little confusing? Stay with me. Leo is triggered when she teases her son's colorful past. Sonny is interrupted by a text from Will and steps out. When Leo attempts to physically remove his mother, here's what happened next.
Go out the side door and do not come back.
Get your hands off me, you little brat!
Okay, let's get something straight. I'm the parent, you're the child, or should I say parasitic leech. You do not put your hands on me. You do not talk to me in a condescending, dismissive tone. And you certainly do not tell me what to do. Now apologize this instant.
Sorry.
Wait a minute, what did you say?
I'm sorry, Mother.
Better. Don't forget, Matthew, I know things about you that your new husband seems very anxious to learn. We wouldn't want your posh set up to blow sky high, would we?
Sorry about that. What'd I miss?
Well, I would just like to say you really clocked him.
We know how to make an entrance.
You know how to make a debut.
I love it. She looks great.
I mean, so
the hair looks great. The makeup looks maybe a little too much red lipstick, but that's okay. That's my signature. And
the good slap.
And a good slap.
Good slap to enter.
Yeah. Greg was like, bring it on, bring it on. I said, okay, baby, whatever you want.
Oh, my God.
That looked great.
Are you excited?
This is the first I've seen.
So you haven't seen your work?
No.
So you're going to watch it?
Once in a while, you see it. Of course.
Okay, you're not one of those actors that doesn't watch her work.
No, I am one of those actors who really likes to watch her work. Because I like to check, being a director and producer myself. So I was like, okay. But from day one, from that introduction, I felt so comfortable. I said, oh, this is just going to be fun. And just Greg and I just play into it.
I love it.
So, yes, of course I'm going to watch it. I've got all my friends who are starting to watch Days of Our Lives.
That's fantastic.
And taping it already so they could. I said, well, don't start on my first day. Start now so you can get a run in to some of the other storylines, because I don't need my phone ring and say, what's going on? You're on your own, kids.
You don't want to have to be the Drake Hogeston of your friends and recount
exactly
the storylines.
I say, call Drake, not me.
Okay, now I have a question. So when Diana first sees Marlena, She tells Marlena that she's she tells her she's an old radio show fan of hers, right?
Yes.
What happens there?
It's just to get an intro. It's not just to. It's just to get a flattery. It's, you know, but it can be taken by flattery. So, oh, you helped me so much when I was going through such a difficult time. And so Marlena gets suckered into it. And then they both talk about their slightly damaged children. And, you know, for my character, this Leo, and for her character, Sammy,
but
their
she's
daughter.
But she's looked up Marlena. I mean, she's been following that.
She knows who Marlena is. She knows what Marlena did to her, what Marlena took from her. And so she's just going to weasel her way into Marlena's life. And what better way than to be a fan?
A psycho fan.
A psycho fan, yeah.
Interesting, because I know in the
story, back
in the past, I think Marlena was believed to be dead.
That's right.
When Diana was with Drake, a.k.a. Roman.
That's right.
At the time, I think.
Don't confuse me.
Okay, well, but that's kind of like, sorry, audience, so that's kind of what was going on.
That's right. That's absolutely right. She was out of the picture. And she came back.
Yes, and that's not made, did not make Diana.
Not good. Wow, that looked great.
So there is a scene between you and Marlena, Deidre Hall, where you come to talk about your children.
Yes, I get her to have a cup of coffee with me.
As the fan, the radio show fan. And in that scene, you reveal
that Leo is my son. And of course, Marlena, wanting to protect her grandson, Will and Sonny, asked me to help her get Leo out of their lives. And my response is basically, would you throw your own daughter under the bus, Marlena?
And then you admit that he's your son.
Yes.
And she's like, what?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
And then drama ensues from there.
And then so it ends in a test of wills, two strong women wanting to protect their own. So at that moment, Diana is very much on Leo's side.
And that's in that moment.
She's going to use whatever to her advantage. Will and Sonny and Mr. Kyriakos.
Victor. Mr. K.
It was my former fiance.
John Aniston.
Former fiance of mine in the last century. It's true.
Oh, my God.
I know. What a history. What a backstory.
All right. So thank you, Judith.
Thank you, Michael.
So much fun.
And you got a great team here.
They're wonderful. Yes. So make sure to listen to the show.
Of course.
You can hear yourself and see yourself.
Oh, that's just too much me right now. I'll save it for the middle of the night when I'm feeling lonely.
Well, all right, Judith.
All right, Michael.
We're going to continue to watch the antics of Diana and what she does.
A.K.A. Mommy Dearest.
Mommy Dearest, a.k.a. Leo's mom.
Leo's mom.
Yeah, so make sure, everyone, to watch Days of Our Lives streaming anytime on NBC.com and NBC app, and check out Judith.
Thank you, my love.
Good to see you.
Be well.
Part 2 of Inside Salem Days of Our Lives podcast will return in a moment. Subscribe to the show wherever you find your podcasts. Watch full episodes of Days of Our Lives and listen to an episode of this podcast early every other Friday on the NBC app. We now return to Inside Salem, Days of Our Lives podcast, to take a look behind the scenes.
Hi, welcome. This is Suzanne Rogers. I play Maggie Simmons Horton Kyriakos on Days of Our Lives. This is my dressing room. It's kind of a mellow yellow. It's kind of a burnt orange carpet. And these are the colors that make me feel good. There's a mirror in my room that my father gave my mom. And it kind of is, it's beautiful. It's a little ornate, but I love it because that was his taste. My previous owner that was in here was Louise Sorrell. And she did a mural on this wall here. And when she left, she painted it out. And so that was fine with me because it wouldn't go with my color scheme. Oh, John Aniston is at the door. Come in.
Suzanne?
Hey.
Morning.
Morning to you. Do you know this?
No.
I don't either. This is unusual. Yeah. I usually go to your room.
I like it better in the old days when we had time to fool around.
Yes. Yes.
We have no time now.
We don't have time anymore to do any of this. That's the problem. What we do is we kind of have to get a handle on what we're doing before we come in. And then that's when, you know, we get to into each other's room and we find out what, you know, John will just say, you need to put the emphasis on that because I'm not real good at the...
Very important to put the emphasis on the right syllable.
On the right syllable. There you go. Anyway, but basically, no. Yeah. I mean, when you've been in the business as long as we have, I think we kind of know what we have to do. I mean, it's like today. I was having trouble today with this certain blocking, and John said, well, just, you know, it's all right if you sit on my lap. And I said, okay, I'll sit on your lap. And, I mean, it's the familiarity of knowing that you could trust the person you're doing a scene with. And I trust John implicitly, and I hope he feels the same.
Good to know.
Good to know. My yeah. partner in crime. I got to know John the most when I went to his birthday party. And he had this beautiful home that I was invited to, and I was very honored because there were just a few others there from the show. And I think that that opened up my eyes to what a lovely man he was and is, and his wife. And, well, I don't know.
Which birthday party?
Oh, the big one. The big one. I think it was...
39?
Yes. Of course. Don't we ever... We never get over 39.
No. You have a certain language that... an unspoken language works between you.
No, all I do is look at John. I look in his eyes and we go. That's it. We know. We know what to do.
And she knows when I don't know the lines because my eyes glaze over. Yeah. You know, it's a funny thing. Years ago on another show, we set aside 45 minutes this morning to do two additional scenes. We did the scenes and they had set aside 45 minutes and in 15 minutes we were done. And they said, well, maybe we can do this other scene. I said, well, we haven't looked at the other scene yet. They said, well, look at it and see what we can do. So we looked at it and we shot it and it was done. And it was quite a revelation. That's the first time I just said I stopped studying lines at night, because otherwise your life is gone. Especially if you're used heavily on the show. All evening you're studying lines. You go in the next day and you're shooting all this stuff. And then after you finish, you go home, you have dinner, and then you start learning lines again. So I stopped learning lines. I didn't look at a script until I was going to work in the morning.
Well, that's very easy for Mr. Aniston. But I have dyslexia, so that doesn't work for me at all.
Well,
I
have to. You just have to learn to use them, to learn them backwards.
That's yeah, all. Well, there you go. No, I have to go upstairs. I have to shut the door. I can't have any television, any noise whatsoever, and I have to learn the lines. And when I first came on the show, there were cue cards, and they were to the right of you and to the left of you. I, being dyslexic, they were of no use to me whatsoever, because by the time I got over the first couple of words, it was done. So when the show started to accelerate its schedule, and because a lot of actors were just reading off the cue cards, they weren't studying at all. They were just reading it off the cue cards.
We lost them because of money.
Yeah. There you go. They didn't want to pay people that were holding
the cards. They saved $250,000 a year.
There you go.
I loved them.
I know. You and Susan Flannery. She was the best.
Yeah.
I mean, I never knew, but you know, it was like they were right off my shoulder and she was, I swear she was looking right at me, but she was, you know, she could always go to the cue cards. And
yeah. Well, you just had to, it's a process.
It was a process.
And
you
have to learn not to look at the cue cards when the camera's looking at you. And then when the camera leaves, then you go back to the cue
card. There you go. I was like, yeah, it's an added pressure. Because we don't have cue cards anymore. I couldn't use them anyway because I couldn't read that far away. But yeah, it's just complete. I think it's different for each person. I feel more secure when I'm walking through the door and I kind of know what I'm saying And then I can get with my partner or partners, and then maybe we can find something in the period of time we have.
The lines go in better when you're working with the actor.
Yes, they do.
If I have to sit at home alone
yes.
to learn lines, take me 4 hours to learn 10 pages.
Yeah.
But if I have the other actor there and we go through it twice,
yeah,
and we
got
know
it. Yeah, you're right.
Because first of all, you're relating it to the script, to the mm-hmm. setting, which you're not doing, you know, and it makes a difference.
All right, John, well, I think we got that. We nailed that one. Indeed. And let's nail it out there.
It's a deal.
Yeah. And thank you for stopping by, and please tune into the podcast and watch the show. Okay, well, thanks again, Suzanne Rogers.
And this is John Aniston saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Coming up on Days of Our Lives, Chloe and Stefan find themselves in a dangerous situation when Chloe's past comes back to haunt her.
Stefan, look out!
Leo and Diana discuss his big secret.
I still think you did the right thing.
Yes, definitely.
Rex and Sarah recommit to their relationship.
Well, I'm feeling pretty positive. I just got my girlfriend back.
I don't want to rush things.
Desperate to find Charlotte, Chad lashes out at Ben.
I told you the truth.
Hey, I told you! I don't know where the hell your daughter is. I have nothing to do with it, I swear to God.
Days of Our Lives. Stream anytime on NBC.com and the NBC app.
This has been Inside Salem, Days of Our Lives podcast. Subscribe on all major podcasting platforms. Do you want to hear the show early? Every other Friday, the show will be available on the NBC app. Follow the show at NBC Days. Theme music by Tom Boyce and Bobby Hart. Produced by Grant Rutter and Michael Fairman. Edited by Trey Booty. This is Melissa Reeves. Join us again for another episode of Inside Salem, Days of Our Lives podcast.